We finally made it to chapter 3.
Amen.
We're talking about how to manage your emotions. This chapter here is healing of the damaged emotions. And we're going to look at the steps that the Holy Spirit leads us through in order for us to have those emotions healed. The Holy Spirit led Joyce Myers through these three steps so that she could receive her healing for her damaged emotions from years and years of abuse in her early life. Now, if it worked for Joyce, it will work for everyone else, okay? Because he's no respecter of persons. Each and every one of us are just as important to him, and he wants each of us to be freed up of these things. So, you know, she believes that they're going to help anyone that's willing to try them. Okay, to seek to win the victory over their emotional problems and for the restoration of the broken spirit. Now, the first thing that you have to do is to face the truth. Okay, and I think even in every AA meeting that you go to, the first thing they say is that you have to first admit that you have a problem. And it's the same in your Christian walk. The first part of getting that healing from whatever your problem is to face the truth. Realize that you are not perfect, that you do have these issues. We may not like other people to tell us that we have them, but we need to be able to accept the fact that we do, so that we can, in order for us to fix them. Because if we're unwilling to say it, we have the problem, we won't ever get it fixed. Okay? An alcoholic isn't going to stop being an alcoholic until they realize that they are an alcoholic. You know, and it's the same thing with the spiritually wounded or, you know, weak. They're going to not realize it until they realize that they don't have anything. Okay, so John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 tells us, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, when he says abide in his word, what he's saying is to hold fast to his teachings and live in accordance with them. So that means when you learn things in church, you're supposed to apply them to your lives. If we hear them and say, oh, that's really nice, but we never do anything with it, we haven't learned anything. Okay? We're supposed to take this information that we're given and take it home with us and apply it to our lives so that we can get free of the things that hinder us and keep us from being able to go forward with God. Now, if you're to receive emotional healing, one of the first things you have to do is face the truth that you have the problem. Okay? Yeah. Well, you're bitter. I am not bitter. Well, yeah, you are. Yeah, you're bitter and you're angry too. No, I'm not angry. Okay. We can see you're in denial then. I am not denying anything. You know, I mean, we do these things, okay? I've heard people do these things. So the first thing we have to do is be able to face the truth that, yes, I do have a problem. You know, sometimes when you're doing things and your kid makes you mad or something, and you yell and scream at your kid and act like an idiot, and then you go, oh, man, that was really wrong. I shouldn't have done that. You know? And because we're parents, we think we can't go and apologize to the child. And that's wrong. Because you can't go and apologize to the child. If it's not their fault that they got all that unloaded on, then they need to know. I'm sorry, baby. Mama made a mistake or daddy made a mistake. And, you know, will you forgive me? Because they're people too. And they have feelings too. And we don't want to damage their emotions and unburdening our own. Okay? Just because we have emotional problems doesn't give us the right to trample on other people's emotions. Yet, this is what people do all the time. Because after all, misery loves company. And if I'm upset and ain't got nothing, then why should anyone else be happy and have everything? I'm just going to make them think that they're right where I'm at. So you can't be set free as long as you're willing to live in denial. You have to be willing to say it. You got a problem. A person can't ever get delivered if they never come to deliverance, because after all, I don't need the deliverance. Well, that's the first problem. Yeah. It's the first spirit. Okay. And it goes on. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, I'm not perfect. I'm not afraid to say that I'm not perfect. But you show me what it is that I need to change, and I'll work on it. Does it mean I'm going to have it right tomorrow? No. It means I'm going to work on it. I'm going to start applying it to my life and trying to make myself bend into that place that God wants me to be. All right? He doesn't expect you to be perfect, and you're not going to be perfect overnight, so don't believe it. Okay, the other thing you can't do is you can't pretend that negative things happened to you in your past. A lot of people lived through it, got through it, survived it, now they buried it, and they don't want anyone else bringing it up. That's my past. It doesn't exist anymore. That's a bunch of baloney. As long as you got it sitting there in that box, it exists. Okay? And as long as you leave it in that box, it's always going to exist. And it's always going to hold you bound because it's there. You know, it's a freeing thing knowing that all your skeletons are out of the closet and there's nothing anyone can say that's going to make you go, oh my God, what are people going to think? Because after all, everyone knows I blabber my mouth off about everything. So, you know, I mean, what? I know what I am. I know what my kids are. I'm sorry. This is me. This is who I am. I am not perfect. I'm striving to be what Jesus wants me to be. And that's all any of us can really do. Because none of us are ever going to reach perfection. If you do, we're going to start calling you Jesus, okay? Because he's the only one that the word says was ever perfect and will ever be perfect. Even Satan thought he was perfect and he fell. Mighty fall. Okay? With quite bad circumstances surrounding it. You know what I mean? The overall consequences. So, you know, you have to be willing to say, yes, I was abused in my youth. Yes, I was raped when I was a teenager. Yes, I went through these things and they bothered me in some kind of way. They affected me. And there's little pieces of my soul that have been shattered or fragmented because of the situation. And I need a healing from that. I can no longer put it in the closet on the top shelf in that little box and keep it secreted away and leave it alone, because as long as I leave it alone and don't pick at it, it doesn't bother me. But it is bothering you. Because it's affecting everything you do in your life. So we need to pull out them things that we got tucked away. Say, okay, God, I need to get rid of this. I'm emptying my trash out today. Okay, this is the first thing I'm throwing in the trash can. So you can have it, Lord, because I don't need it anymore. And just continue until you get all those things cleared out and you'll feel so much better. And you'll be able to breathe a nice fresh breath of air and feel like you really offloaded something. But as long as you stay in fear to people finding out about who you are, you can't really be free. So, you know, we're afraid of what people will think. Well, half the time they know that stuff anyhow, and does it really matter? Because personally, I could walk in this church every day and have everyone just turn their back to me, and it wouldn't bother me, because you know why? I'm not here for you. I'm only here for one person, and he doesn't sit in any of these seats. So, I don't care what you think. Sorry. It's nice if you think good things, and I'm sorry if you don't. But it doesn't really matter, because you're not my judge. You don't know my heart. You don't know my feelings. You don't know what I'm going through, what God's taken me through, how he's working on me. I am a work in progress. And every work in progress that I've ever done, because I was in construction for 15 years, okay, gets nastier before it gets prettier. Okay? The demolition is always a nasty job. The restoration is what becomes beautiful. So you have to be willing to let him restore you. You have to be willing to get the ugly up to the surface in order to get it beautified. And this is what people are afraid of. Because what will people think? It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Because God's the only one that counts. And if I'm here for anyone besides God, I'm here for the wrong problem. For the wrong reason. You know? I don't come here. You can't help me. You can't change my life. You can't heal my body. You can't touch me in any way that makes it beneficial for me to stay here. Except for giving me company. Giving me somebody to sing to whether you want to hear it or not. Teach whether you want to hear it or not. I mean, that's it. It gives me a platform, you know, to some degree. But we have to be willing to be open and say, yeah, I got this problem. Because Otherwise, the devil's going to keep you under his thumb with that problem. As long as you're willing to keep it secreted away, the enemy's going to keep you in a corner with it. You have to be willing to unload all of it. Even the ugly stuff, the really ugly stuff, that you don't want anyone to know. You know, God doesn't make everybody know. There's some things he lets you take care of in private. Okay? The whole world doesn't have to know. You go to God with it. He'll take care of it. Even in deliverance, if he knows it's that personal to you and that close to your heart, he will not divulge exactly what it is that happened. He will only tell as much as he needs to in order for you to be helped. Even in prophecies, God doesn't sit there and make a person feel this big. He makes them feel like they can be somebody. Like things are going to get better. That things are going to work out. What do you think? That's the God I serve. That's what I hear. Okay? I don't know. Maybe, you know, some people have coverings over their ears and they hear differently than I do. So, you know, I just want to put it out there. That's the God I serve. Because I know other people who don't serve the same God. Okay? Life is a sad place to live in. Lots of bad things happen. But that doesn't have to steal my joy or happiness. That does not change my relationship with my Father, and it shouldn't. Because life is life, and it ain't a pretty place to be. So we're going to experience some things that we don't like. We just have to know that the Father's still with you. And he can help you through it. And he can bring you out on the other side a better person because of it. Okay? He always takes what the enemy means for harm and destroy you and makes it your shining glory in the end. Look at the people who are really down in the gutter and stuff and they're out there selling drugs and killing people and stuff. God gets a hold of them, flips them all around and stuff, brings them back, and they're out there saving the same people that they were. What they used to be becomes the thing that now helps them to reach out and touch other people, to draw other people out of that stuff. So he uses what we have been through. If you never experienced anything negative, how are you going to help anyone? How are you going to have a testimony and say, well, I went through something like this, and you know, God brought me through this way. No, it wasn't really what I expected. But if you can hold in there, God's going to bring you through in the most unexpected way. But don't expect him to do it in the way you want him to, because it won't be that way at all. It never is. Just let God have the reins. Let him drive the car. And you just go with him for the ride. And when you get to the other place, it's going to be much better. So just sit back, relax, and let God have the wheel. Instead of trying to drive the car, just sit back and relax. Go along for the ride. You know, too many times we're trying to tell him where to take us. And that's not where we need to be. Once again, it's our emotions. So, I got off on a track. If you have a young girl, say, that has an abortion or maybe bears a child out of wedlock and ends up giving it up for adoption, it's a very traumatic experience for them. And it leaves emotional damage. Regardless of who they are, regardless of how strong or weak they are, regardless of what kind of home they come from, how much support they have, it leaves a scar. Okay, it marks them in some way. You know, it helps her develop opinions and attitude towards things that she's going to encounter in life from that point on. She might not ever want to have another baby, get pregnant again, because she had to give the last one away. She may not ever really be able to enjoy the thought of motherhood because she lost one. In her mind, she lost it. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen, and people do things, react to things differently. If you take 10 people, have the same thing happen to those 10 people, each person's going to come out of it a different way, with different issues. And there's some that are going to stroll right out of it and say, man, it was tough, but I'm here still. You know? I mean, you got them from the weakest to the weak to the strongest of the strong, and it just depends on what decisions they make going through that thing, on how they come out. So those people that really want to dwell on their emotions, what they do is they get down in this pity party with themselves and they allow themselves to be overtaken by bad things because their emotions are controlling them instead of them managing their emotions. So I'm hurt right now and I don't like what just happened, but that doesn't mean it has to get me down. That just means that I gotta throw my shoulders back, stick my chin up, and go on. Okay, that's all it means. It may have stopped me for a second, but it doesn't have to stop me permanently. Too many times we let it take us to our knees, and then we fall to the wayside, and we throw up our hands and surrender, and it ain't to God. So, it doesn't matter what happens to you. What matters is the decisions that you make in those circumstances that determines where you're going to come out at. If you want to handle it, you can. You're going to make a worse mess of it. I'm watching someone do that to themselves right now. And the more they try to do and show that they can do it on their own, the less successful they are. And the more they're spinning in the same track. They're not going anywhere. And they're not ever going to go anywhere. Yet they won't stop and just sit back in that passenger seat and let God take the wheel. I even said to them, tried everything else, it'd be easier. Why don't you just give it a shot? Give it one honest to God shot. Feel it that you want it to work. Shot. Not just, maybe I'll try it this week. If nothing happens, then next week I'm going back to old self. You know what I'm saying? When you got nothing left to lose, what does it hurt? So, in the same way, a person who suffered through verbal, physical, or sexual abuse can also develop very bad self-image of themselves. They think that they're to blame for what happened to them. They think they deserved it. They think that, you know, it's justified what will do to them, and that's blame. That's a lie that the enemy has convinced them is real for so many years that they don't know the truth. And that's why you need to read his word and you need to apply it to your life and realize that you are the same as everybody else and that he means you too. Okay? Because the enemy will even tell you, oh yeah, it works for other people, but not for you. It's not going to work. He doesn't mean you. You just done too much. He's not going to do it for you. That's baloney. Jesus goes right down to hell and ministers to people down in hell. What do you mean he doesn't love you still? He doesn't quit loving you. You know, the word says, if you ask your father for bread, is he going to give you a stone? You know, and if you reach out your hand to God, no matter where you are at in that walk of life, he's still going to accept you back. Because that's the kind of God he is. You know, through Joyce's own experiences and her years of ministry, she came to realize that we as human beings are marvelously adept at building walls around ourselves and cramming things into dark little corners and pretending that they never, ever happened to us. That's the kind of people we are. Yeah. Some of you are chuckling. You know, I'm a pack rat, hoarder, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I like to keep things. I collect things. My mom will tell you it drives her nuts. But I am because it's useful still. There's value to it yet to me. You know, you can't get rid of that. And she was cleaning out the back room the other day and I kept walking back in there. She goes, this is just driving her absolutely nuts. And I'm going, yeah, I want to see what you're getting rid of. Because there might be something there that I think is useful still, you know, and really the best thing for me to do is to turn around and walk away because I'm going to find some use for it, you know, and so it's best if I do that. But, you know, in Joyce's experience also, she realized that it does no good to act like it didn't happen, to act like it's not there. You have to face the fact of the abuse. You have to face the fact that you had a bad parent. You have to face the fact that you weren't the bad person when you got, you know, abducted outside of the movie theater that night, whatever the case is. That it's not because you are bad. It's because the other person was. the other person had a problem. You know, I was in a relationship where someone criticized, always told me what I was. And I flat look at him and say, just because you say it, don't make it so. Yeah, because that's not who I am, and apparently you don't know me very well. And just because you're sitting there saying it does not make it so. I have to own it before it becomes real. And I refuse to own any of that. Because I'm sorry, that's not who I am. You know, and when you realize that you have emotions that are keeping you bound down, and you're willing to face up to that and admit that, then you can say, yeah, I have owned these way too long, and I want to get rid of them now. I don't want them no more. They've outlived their use to me. I am finished with them. Let me put them in the trash and take care of them. And let God take you through that healing process. But the first thing you have to do is be able to face the fact that I have a problem. It's very hard sometimes, especially if you're the younger in a family, to tell an older member that they're doing something that's wrong. That they need to change their way. That they're maybe, you know, being a little more touchy lately. Or that, you know, they did something and it really wasn't appropriate the way they handled it. Whatever, it is hard to tell people things like that. But if it continues to go on, it's better for you to tell them than to let them live with that and let them cause that anger or that discontent or whatever it is to turn into bitterness and something that's deep-rooted and grounded that they have a hard time getting rid of. You know, a lot of times I stop myself when I do things and think I don't want to go down that path. Been down that path before. I want to keep that thing sealed off, okay? Because I know where that path takes me. I don't like the ending, okay? So I made my way back out of that one, and I don't want to go there again. Because, you know, even after God helps you through these things, the enemy's going to try to tell you that it didn't take, and he's going to try to take you right back down that same path. He's going to tell you, see, it didn't work. See, people still are doing the same thing to you. But remember, it's the decisions that you make pertaining to that thing that's going to decide how your emotions go. You can either say, okay, I understand that was an attack of the enemy, and no, it's not going to get me down. I'm going forward. Or you can fall down and play yourself all over the place, have a little tantrum, let the enemy have his way. You know, it's so hard sometimes to be victorious, okay? But the more that we're aware of ourselves and what we have going on inside of us, the easier it is for us to recognize it when we see it coming or we see it happen and, okay, so you did it again. Tell yourself you did it again and be more careful next time. And you'll find out that as you keep on top of things, it'll eventually go away because you'll start catching yourself before you do it. And you'll get better at it. But it's a process. It's a process. You have learned behaviors from hurts and pains in the past. And you have to let go of them. And one of the ways you have to let go of them is not to assume that the same thing is going to happen every time. Okay, so you're used to reaching out your hand and having it smacked, okay? Every time you reach out your hand, you believe this time it won't be smacked. You believe that enough times, eventually your hand isn't going to get smacked. If it does, say, oh, well, Lord, I pray for them anyhow. Okay, but it's not going to get me down because I stuck out my hand to them. They did not want it. And we have to understand that, you know, we can't force things, we can't push things to happen the way we want it to happen. All we can do is keep trying to do what we know is right to do. You know, when I hurt someone's feelings, I feel bad about it, and I want to go tell them that I did something wrong. But when they give me the cold shoulder, you know what, where it takes me? It takes me right back to what I did the first time, and I want to do it all over again. That's my emotions. Okay, but if I know better, and I know that's where my shortness is, I gotta count to 10, Teresa, calm down, and then respond to the situation instead of attacking back, because then the enemy's laughing at you, you know. So, Even if it looks a little foolish, even if you got to turn around and walk away, whatever the case is, don't worry about it. As long as you don't give in and let the enemy control your emotions, you won. Even if you don't feel like you won, Al, you won. And sometimes you really don't feel like you won. Sometimes you feel pretty beat up, but you still won because you did not give in to the enemy. And that's what you have to realize. You know, every battle you go through, you don't come out of unscathed. Sometimes you actually have hand-to-hand combat, and you have a few bruises and bumps and cuts and stuff to show for your efforts. Okay, but that doesn't mean you didn't win. And see, the enemy will tell you those things. You didn't win. Look, he beat you up. No, he didn't beat me up. I came out the victor. This is where we have to get to. Quit listening to the lies of the enemy. He'll tell you as many as you'll believe. You know, it's like, yeah, he will. He'll tell you as many as you will believe. What we want to do is, you know, we want to not be afraid to talk about who we are, where we've been, where God's brought us from. Because those are the very things that help other people to be successful in their victories, in their own walks, because they see that other people are surviving through the same things they do, that yeah, they're going through. And sometimes they get good advice on how to manage through it. You know, when you're trying to hide everything from everybody and keep everyone from knowing all your past, well, if you truly gave it to God and you got rid of that problem, that emotional baggage that goes with it, you should be able to talk about it to people without it affecting you that way, with the meaning of helping them to get through their circumstances. I mean, you know, that's the bottom line. But the enemy will try to, yeah, but look how many times you fell before you actually crawled up. But I crawled up. Okay? I don't care if I had to drag myself up. I got there. I got to the top. And that's what we have to look at. We have to look at each victory as in we did something. We did it with the help of the Holy Spirit. But we did something. We had a major victory, okay? And each thing that we accomplished should be a major victory because we're on a victory path, okay? We're not on a defeat path. We're not focusing on the defeats in our life because they will make you down. They will drag you down into self-pity and making you think of how bad things are. Well, you didn't think that 10 minutes ago before you started dwelling on all that stuff. You thought things were pretty great. Felt pretty good about yourself. See, you can't let the negative things come in. When people try to point out all the negative things in my life, I know they're trying to take my joy from me and get me into doubt. And I just say, well, you know, it is what it is. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Whatever. You know, but I'm happy right now, so I'm good with it. You know, after all, I don't have to please you. I don't care. You're not living my life. I am. And this is the way I want to live. I'm good with it. Right, wrong, indifferent, I don't care. I'm good with it. Okay? That's the way it is. I don't, you know, I'm not telling you what to do. I suggest you come try my way, but I'm not telling you what to do. God can't force anyone's will. I can't force anyone's will. But man, if they see me having enough good times over here, they may go, wonder what it is about that stuff she's got. Let me go sample some. Let me see what happens there. Why does she act like that? You know, that's what we need, where we need to get to. You know, it's not, you shouldn't have to worry about losing the love of the people around you. You shouldn't have to worry about rejection from misunderstandings and stuff of the people around you. We all think that if everyone really knew who we were, they'd all run screaming from us. Yeah, but really, in reality, we probably have a lot in common. We've probably been down many paths that were similar or darn near identical. Okay? Well, Al's might have been a little different because he isn't a woman, you know, or Brett's. But, you know, they might have some differences, but they'd be very similar. And, you know, we're all going through the same things. The thing that you have to know is that you have to face the truth. You have to understand that just because you mess up doesn't mean the end of the world. The end of the world is when Jesus comes and you face judgment, okay? You got a lot of time yet. Well, maybe, give or take a few, whatever, to get it right. And if you're striving and seriously trying with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul to be what God wants you to be, He will not reject you. If you've been faithful to Him and willing to stand up for Him and to speak for Him, then He's not going to reject you, even if you still have failings. Because we're not going to be perfect. And when He looks at you, He's going to look through you, at you through the blood of Jesus, and He's not going to see your imperfections. You're going to be white, pristine, flawless. That's what we need to understand. Face the truth. It's better to get it behind you. Then nobody can rub it in your nose and say, well, I just go tell them what you've done. Go right ahead, because I already have. Okay? You can't hurt me anymore. I have no ammunition to give you. It's all out there already. Okay? That's what you do when you face the truth. You take away the enemy's ammunition against you. Because he has nothing left to hurt you with. It's our fears that keep us bound to these things. You got to let go. You got to be willing to say, God, here it is. I don't want this no more. I'm tired of lugging this thing around. So I'm getting a hump in my back. Okay? Take this stuff. And then let God take you through that healing process. You have to face the truth first. That's your first step. So between now and the next class, you can start facing some truths and looking at some things. And if somebody says something, don't get angry about it. Take a good look at yourself and say, are they right? Is that what I'm really like? Do I have to change that? As you know, some things God tells me to change, I'm going, oh God, really? Do I got to change that? You know? It's like if He asked me to not drink iced tea anymore, I think I'd go, I'm going to dehydrate. You know? I mean, it's the only thing I drink. What am I going to drink, Lord? But I'm sure that He would make me willing if He came to that. So, you know, God will bring you through anything that you come up against. There's nothing out there He can't get you through. But you got to be willing to give it to Him. Amen.